Welcome back to M&A Access, the official podcast of the Alliance of Mergers and Acquisition Advisors. My name is Gina Galusha, and today we have a compilation for you of advice. Advice on how to make the most of your career, how to network, and how to grow in this business. You'll get to hear from an array of professionals across the full M&A spectrum, and the advice is great for people who are just starting out in the industry, as well as those who have been around for years. Enjoy.
For those who are just entering the M&A world, going back to the younger individuals, Gen Z, or whoever we want to mention here, what kind of advice would you give them? Where to even start?
I mean, there's so many different aspects of being in the deal community. And I think, you know, being a lawyer is just one, right? There's also being, there are different types of consultants who maybe help identify companies to acquire on behalf of a client. There's private equity that, you know, or that are the capital providers, basically sponsoring, doing deals, you know, on behalf of their investors. You know, there are banks that are part of the deal world, you know, and then there are insurance companies that are providing reps and warranty insurance. So these are, you know, and like I said, investment banks, there are all sorts of people, accountants that are doing, you know, accounting firms that are doing quality of earnings reports. So they're all different types of businesses that participate in the M&A community. So I think what you need to do if you're young and starting out and trying to figure out, you know, what your path is, you know, what are you passionate about? And you can be passionate about doing a deal, but from what standpoint, right? So I think try to understand what you love to do. I mean, if you like the legal side, I like drafting agreements and I like helping structure things. But I can tell you, I don't think I would want to be like on the accounting side doing quality of earnings reports. But that's just as much a part of the deal community as what I do. You know, so I think try to understand what you're good at, what you like to do, and spend time figuring out the best way to enter the deal world from that perspective, mm-hmm. right? And also realize that, you know, if you're young, you're young. You can make mistakes, and you might decide that your path, you know, in 10 years is not what you thought it would be 10 years ago, right? Maybe you decide you want to do something different. I worked for 7-8 years before I decided to go to law school, right? And then even after that, it took me a while to figure out where within the legal community I wanted to be, right? So I think if you're young, just, you know, don't feel like you're trapped in whatever you do as your first job out of college, or if you didn't go to college, you know, use it as a stepping stone to something else, or maybe understand that you want to do it, you know, from a different standpoint. But so there are all different ways to be in the deal world. There's not just one.
As I mentioned, we are right now at the Winter Conference here in Charleston. So I like to ask all of our guests here, what is your best networking advice for events like this and in general, mm-hmm. if you want to put your name out there as a young professional mm-hmm. in private equity sphere?
Yeah.
What do you recommend?
It's great. It's a great question, because I'm what I would say is, and this usually surprises people, I'm what I call a reluctant extrovert. So I'm probably naturally more introverted. But you learn, if you're going to be successful in business, you have to be able to network mm-hmm. next year. So I will flip a switch. And then after this conference, at the end of the day, I will probably be catatonic and then curl into the fetal position in my room and gently, like, cry myself to sleep. And so,
well, hopefully not that.
No, I'm kidding, of course. But it's you know, I think for those like me, I think planning and preparation matter, right? Mm-hmm. Be intentional about who you want to meet. And then be thoughtful about how it's not a transactional relationship. You know, get to know them, bring them something of value, and make it a two-way street. Mm-hmm. And then try to be, you know, be earnest when you set up the meetings, and then get to know them first. Because I think so many people immediately try to go for, like, this is a transaction. And that never works. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, spend the time. So the people who I know here are the people that I spent, you know, hours and hours with, like having a drink with after the conference, or just in between talking about, you know, family and friends. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the best thing, is like, don't look at it as a transaction, look at it as a relationship that you're going to build over your life. and make it a two-way street, but be thoughtful and intentional about it and put in the hard work.
So, last question. Say that you had lunch with younger Graham. What advice would you give him?
Well, that's a good question. I would say that finding a mentor, if you're starting out in this business, this isn't, I mean, we have a CMAA program. We have ways to learn M&A, but the reality is they don't really teach it in school. So, and everybody thinks what they teach in school is that you start a business, you go public, and that's the way it works. And the reality is there's an entire world in the middle there in the private company landscape. And the best way to get involved with that and to learn how to do that is to have a mentor and have somebody actually teach you how to do it.
Right.
And have you understand the protocols and the rules
and the
that's
nuances.
The best advice I would give somebody is to find a mentor to help guide you through the process, meet some people, and learn how things work.
So let's talk private equity. For those who are just starting the private equity and like working in private equity business and, you know, field, what should a younger individual expect? Like going back to your days when you just started your career path in that direction, like what is the advice you wish someone told you then?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was working really for a private equity firm, but through their portfolio company. So I wasn't directly hired by the private equity, but they were invested in the company that I worked for. Fortunately for me, I was early on in that company, so I got to experience and sit in a lot of those meetings. In PE, it's all about speed and accuracy. So to best support a private equity firm or work within one or at a portfolio of one, when the market timing is good and you want to take advantage of that or make the most of it, when your market's good, when your buyers are listening to your story and paying attention to the service you bring to market, you have to capitalize on it. So, you know, be prepared, have everything documented. Really, really good communication and good reporting is really important when you have a private equity firm that owns your company. And the same is true in an accounting firm when supporting them. You know, when Grassi is working with a private equity group, whether it be on tax, audit, you know, quality of earnings, valuation, or bringing one of our clients, in front of them to potentially be acquired, timing's everything. And you just want to, you know, be able to get answers back to the folks who ask for them, mm-hmm. Especially during those diligence phases in a timely manner. But, you know, ultimately you can't rush. You can't rush this stuff. You have to be accurate in your findings. You have to be accurate in your presentation of whatever it is that you're sharing with that group. And you know, that's true ahead of a transaction. It's true during the integration after a transaction. In order for a private equity firm to not just bring capital to the table, but also their knowledge and industry expertise and their distribution networks and many other things, they need the right information. So if you can deliver accurate information in a timely manner, they have really smart people there that can figure out what to do with it and help you scale, you know, past that phase of the business that maybe the founders were hitting a wall or just felt like they were hitting a ceiling and or didn't feel like, you know, they were the right people because of experience, age, geography. There could be a whole bunch of reasons why they might be the wrong people to take a, you know, $100 million business to $1 billion business. So mm-hmm. I think just trust those providers and be speedy and accurate with, you know, everything you do.
What advice would you give to someone looking to grow their influence and network in the M&A and private equity space?
I just help, you know, I think help people out. I help understand what people are looking for, listen. You know, it doesn't always have to be, you know, maybe your service line is where you can add value, right? Obviously, you know, we all work and we all, you know, have jobs to do and have a focus and have an expertise. But, you know, if you can connect someone to, you know, another partner of yours, whether they're across the country, across the state, or across the room, and you can, you know, tie those knots together, I think that's where a lot of great things happen. And so just continue to be, again, there's a great book called The Go-Giver out there. Be a go-giver, help people out, and it usually comes back around.
If you had one piece of advice to share with folks in the industry listening today, what would it be?
It's a really, really good question, Gina. I think it's perseverance. You know, in my role, in a lot of roles, professional roles, certainly in my role, we hear no a lot.
All the time. Yeah.
All the time. That, just because we hear no doesn't mean that that's a loss. Mm-hmm. We can't take that. You have to move beyond that. And so I like to flip that. I say that's a win. I just save myself time. I don't need to reach out to that individual because they don't have a desire to talk to me.
Right.
So I just save time. And so, you know, how do you shift the mind to take a, you know, what some would consider a failure and convert it into a win?
Mm-hmm. My mom always said, do not be weary in well-doing. And that's kind of how I see you every time we get to meet at a conference, right? You just have that kind of quiet joy of I'm doing, I'm moving, you know? So I can absolutely see that.
Absolutely. Brilliant. You know, I mean, getting here early, being one of the, you know, the first people in, you know, at the breakfast, mm-hmm. Getting to sit down with someone new. I mean, that's the stuff that excites me. I don't know. I'm clearly an extrovert. no surprise there. But that's definitely why I'm in a business development role. I love relationships. I like to figure out what motivates people, mm-hmm. not just necessarily in these rooms, but in life. Do they? I'm a huge fly fisherman. I love to fly fish.
Oh, fascinating.
I love to play golf. I do a lot more of that these days because my son loves to play golf.
Excellent.
And so he's my embedded hall pass.
What advice would you give to other people just starting in M&A, you know, space, maybe younger individuals?
Get really good advice, ask for due diligence. Get really good advice so that you ask lots of questions, the right questions, and make sure there's enough cash, more than you expected, to go through. Integrations, the average integration cost is 14% of the deal. So if you're spending $10 million by a company, you've got to budget $1.4 million on average. And that's all in, and that's the cost of fixing a leaky roof and buying computers and the usual benefit stuff. But that's the average. It could be less. It could be more. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you've got cash flow. Be prepared to stay involved with the company after you have acquired, after you've announced. A problem we see commonplace is leaders go, oh, I've closed the deal, I've bought the company, I've made the announcement, I did a great job announcing, and they probably do. And then they go, oh, I'm going back to my day job now. I've got all these things I postponed, I need to get back to. And we're going, no, this is your day job too. You've got to, morale's going to dip in about mm-hmm. 2 to 3 months' time. Mm-hmm. Morale will be at bottom out. You need to be here in 6 weeks and 12 weeks to give the rah-rah speech. Here's why it's important. Here's your part of the vision. Mm-hmm. Here's stick around. And getting leaders involved after a week is really tough.
So in turn, I know that you're really active in, you know, networking groups and that kind of thing. So what's the advice you pass on to ladies and to up-and-comers?
I think it is a marathon, not a sprint. So, you know, every day you just have, I think having goals, and I'm very goal-oriented. I'm all about vision boards these days, and not like vision boards that you cut out of a magazine, but just being very intentional about how you're spending your time and effort. So, you know, making sure you're calling people, following up every day, staying in contact, being out there on a regular basis, thinking about other people, not just being, you know, thinking about me and I want your business, but how can I help you? And thinking about others, because if you put good out there, it always comes back in one way. So, I think just one day at a time, making good relationships, earning that trust and respect, which takes time. All of it just takes time.
It's a long game.
But showing up and, yeah.
Best advice you've ever received?
Yeah, I've had some pretty strong mentors, so I have lots of good advice. I would say the best advice goes back to what I said earlier. Help enough people get to where they want to get to. Naturally, you're going to get to where you want to get to. I think that's always sat well with me. The other one is probably going to be fake it till you make it, right? Fake it till you make it, right? Exactly. Those two are competing. So
if someone wants to build a long respected career in this space, your best networking advice?
Ooh, best networking advice. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to networking, I think you got to know when to shut it down and when not shut it down. Meaning, you'll find a lot of people that will spin your wheels and spend a lot of time, and it leads to nowhere. When you go to network, you got to go there with intent, right? And so you got to know when you're going to add value to the conversation, or they're going to add value, and when they're not, and when they're not, shut it down and move on to the next, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we're all here to drive deals forward, to help propel our businesses. Those distractive conversations aren't going to help that.
Best deal advice you received?
Best deal advice is listen to your advisors. They know. They've done it dozens, scores, hundreds of times. And ask questions. There's no limit to how many questions you should ask.
Absolutely. I love that. Ask questions. Worst advice you ignored?
Worst advice I ignored? Ask all the questions. I didn't ask enough.
I'm serious.
Tell me a story about that. Like, what is a question you wish you had asked?
So, I would have asked, walk me through the last three deals of my size. Were any of them sole prop, you know, pyramid guys? So somebody's at the top, she's at the top, and there's all these people beneath them. How did that work? What were the issues? And walk through that. Walk me through the deal itself. What happens after? I mean, we talked about it, but we didn't really talk about it. Everybody was so focused on what's in front of your nose that we forgot to say, when you turn the corner, what's there? And I turned the corner and I immediately said, throw everything at me. I'll absorb it all. Because they were on a 6-9 month process. I said, how about 6 to 9 days? They said, well, that's a little too fast. How about in the next 6 to 9 weeks? I said, okay. So we fast-tracked learning about what we were doing. And then 6 months later, a year and a half later, it changed and changed again. So processes changed, their direction changed, and be prepared for change.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you want to play nice in the sandbox, and you want your sanity, learn to change, and you will have to change.
What advice would you give to other young professionals in the M&A space? How to start? Where to start?
Where to start?
What to not be afraid of?
Don't be afraid to shake some hands, right? Don't be afraid to go up to individuals. You know, our firm does a lot to kind of give back to our community. And one of the things that we do is we go to one of our universities there in the area and we put on this networking presentation. And I've been fortunate to join them a couple times. And, you know, one of the questions that we say that is at the end of the presentation is, hey, what do you do when you're having a bad day? And this goes to that piece of advice, right? When you're having a bad day and you're going to a networking event and you're going to shake some hands and meet some individuals, you don't know what that person's going through in their life. You don't know if there's some family trouble going or some financial issue or, you know, they might have gone through something really hard and difficult before it. So why be the reason that they have an even worse day, right? So if you go in and you are intentional about your relationships and you genuinely try to meet people as humans, I think success naturally follows because it's a lot easier to row a boat with 10 people than it is by yourself. So if you treat the people right, the people are going to treat you right, and naturally you're going to be able to be really successful. So that's my piece of advice for anyone. I think don't be afraid to go up to the managing partner of another firm or the lead or the name attorney at a law firm, right? Mm-hmm. They were all in your shoes one day, and you can learn a lot from them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's kind of advice I give people.
Thanks for listening into this special edition of M&A Access. We hope you came away with great advice for building your business and networking within the M&A space. Consider joining us next time for more insights from leaders in the M&A field. We'll see you then. These kinds of conversations are happening all the time. We'd love for you to join in, whether it's through our monthly webinars, our biannual conferences, or our SEMA certification, and then we have our chapter events across the nation all year round. You can find out more at amaaonline.com. Until then, see you next time.